Surprise, surprise, surprise. It's too late to run now. I know you can't see them, but behind them back doors, there's armed guards. So you're trapped, no place to go. And I hate it for you because I've cut this message down two or three times already. I think I've got it down to under an hour and a half. Open your Bible tonight to Genesis chapter number 49. We're only going to read a few verses there. And then flip over there and find Revelation chapter 5 and just put a marker in it. Stick something in there in Revelation chapter 5 and we'll go there later. But Genesis chapter number 49 and verse number 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. I want you to call special attention to verse number 9. Judah is a lion's whelp. That's the same as cub. Small, yearling, cub, whelp. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall roust him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Gosh, I felt a little breeze come through right there on that one. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. My Father, as I bow in your presence, I ask you to search me and try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would purge me afresh from the coals of the altar. I pray you'd hide me in the shadow of the cross. And I pray you'd use me in a way to be pleasing to you. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to call your attention to a few things tonight. this message the Lord has laid, he's wore me out with it. And I've revamped it several times and made page after page after page of notes and finally got it condensed down. Like I said, I think I can get all this in within the next hour and a half. But I want you to notice the passages that we read tonight. Genesis chapter 29 records the fact that Leah bore to Jacob four sons. Now, there was two more that came later, but she bore four, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and her fourth son was Judah. And then she left off childbearing for a while, and then later she gives him Issachar and Zebulun. But I want to call your attention to the fourth one. The fourth one was Judah. His name means praise. And when we get to what we read tonight, Genesis chapter number 49, Jacob is on his deathbed. And he calls his sons around him to tell them what will befall them in the end time. And one by one, he speaks to his sons. But I want to look at the conversation that Jacob has with his fourth son, which is Judah. He said, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Man, I mean, what a thing. That had to sound a little strange coming from Jacob if I was Judah. Jacob just told him, You are one that your brethren are going to praise. He said, thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Then he said, thy father's children shall bow down before thee. And in verse number 9, Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall roust him up? And then in verse number 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Do you realize that we're in the first book of the Bible, and already Jacob is giving a prophecy concerning the second advent or the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ 1700 years before he was born. And it's all based around Judah. And he gives this. And then he says, until Shiloh come. Now, if you want to run the references on that, you'll find Shiloh was a place. It was the first place where they set up the tabernacle, where they worshiped. But it's also symbolic of a person. It's an epithet for the Messiah. And so he just told Judah that your brethren are going to bow down to you. Your brethren are going to pay homage to you. Your hand is going to be in the back of your enemies. And he said, the scepter shall not depart, the throne shall not depart from the lineage of Judah till Shiloh come. And of course, there's no doubt about who Shiloh is. Look at the latter part of verse number 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Definitely a reference to the second coming or the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. My goodness. And notice how he associates it with the fourth son, which is Judah. And so you start to find in the Bible how the Lord answers that, and you see it played out right before your eyes, because when you get to 1 Kings chapter number 12, you'll have a list of the kings of Judah. You remember Saul was the people's choice. You remember that? Beware of the people's choice. Don't they have a people's choice award? Beware of the people's choice. Israel cried out for a king. They wanted a monarchy like the other nations around them. And so the Lord gave them what they wanted. And they chose Saul, which was from the tribe of Benjamin. And then you find that the Lord makes his choice, which was David, from the line of, anybody know? From the line of Judah. And then Solomon came along, and if you'll remember, under Solomon's reign, the kingdom was rent in twain. There was 10 kingdoms that stayed in the north, referred to in your Bible as the house of Israel. They had their kings, beginning with Jeroboam, which was a wicked, evil king. And then Rehoboam, he took kingship of the two tribes in the south, referred to as the house of Judah. And so if you want to run that list, you'll find it in 1 Kings chapter number 12, and you find a dynasty of kings that come from the line of Judah. They come from the lineage of Judah, from the tribe of Judah. And if you want to take the time to count them, there's 19 of them before they was carried off into captivity in 587 BC. They were 19 men and one queen. They give you some good Bible study and a good Bible lesson. When you get home, you can find out all about Athaliah, and you'll find her mentioned in 1 Kings 11. And she came in, she was number 7. The rest were kings, all from the tribe of Judah, just like Jacob said. He said, the scepter will never pass from Judah. And the Lord answered exactly what Jacob said. She shows up as number 7. She rises up, kills all the seed royal, and she sets down and actually reigns Israel for 6 years. But if you'll follow them, there's 20 rulers. 20 rulers for the house of Judah. 20 of them. Until they're carried off, the temple's destroyed, and they're carried off captive into Babylonian captivity in 587 BC. And if you count them, there's 20 of them. And if you look real close, out of that 20, they were 13 of them that was bad. Now, if you listen to Brother Tony teach during Sunday school, you know what that number 13 represents. It's never good. It's the number of rebellion. So out of those 20 leaders, those 20 kings, 13 of them were bad. They caused Israel to backslide. They caused Israel to go away from the Lord. And out of those 20, you only had 7 good ones. You had 7 that would reel Israel back in, and they would be worshiping the Lord again. Zedekiah was the last, the 20th, the last one before they go into captivity. Now, today, Israel does not exist as a monarchy. They exist as a democracy. They have Netanyahu, which is a prime minister, but they have no king. They've not had a king in 2,600 years. So, now wait a minute. What are we going to do about what Jacob told his 4 sons? Did he not tell them that the scepter, the throne, would never pass from Judah? Is that not what he said? Well, they've not had one for 2,600 years now. Yeah. Isn't that something? Yeah. There's not been a king. So you reckon our Bible left us hanging? You think possibly that could happen? I don't think so. Let's look in Revelation chapter number 5. Revelation chapter number 5. Look at verse number 1. Revelation 5:1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. You remember the preacher telling us a couple of weeks ago how that the book of Revelation is full, packed full of the number 7. Remember that? You'll find it from Revelation 1 through the last chapter 22. You'll find that number 7 time and time and time again. It's God's number of completion. I saw in the right hand him that sat on the throne, a book written with sealed on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" Not just to open the book, but to open the understanding of what's contained in those 7 seals. Who's worthy to do that? Verse 3. And no man in heaven, no in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open, to read the book, or to look thereon. Now wait a minute. Just when you thought that Jacob didn't know what he was talking about. Verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not." Now, I've been having a little trouble with my glasses lately, and so you follow me and make sure I don't misread this. Judah was called a lion's whelp. He was called a cub. And all of the kings from the line of Judah that reigned over the house of Judah were nothing but cubs. They were lion's whelp, just cubs. That's what they were. My son's getting ready to change here, okay? One of the elders says, "John, don't weep, not nary a tear. No, just look." And he said, now, these glasses have been giving me a fit, so you follow me. I don't want to mess up here. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the cub of the tribe of Judah." Is that what your Bible says? Surely it don't. If it does, you need to get you a Bible. This is not the cub. No, all the cubs has already had their shot. They've already had their shot at the scepter. And the best they could do, they were just cubs. They were just lion's whelps. But this is the old daddy lion himself. Look at it. "Weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed." Yeah, you better know he prevailed. He prevailed over the devil on the mount of temptation in Luke chapter 4. He prevailed over the devil at Gethsemane, Matthew chapter 26. And he prevailed over the devil at Calvary. Amen. Matthew, you better believe he prevailed. Had prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. Now, watch this. How many rulers or kings did I tell you that's listed before they were carried off into Babylonian captivity? Do you remember? 20. So we're looking for number 21, right? How many's with me? Yeah, but we're not looking for any more cubs. I'm about to have a spell up here. No, we're not looking for any more cubs. Now we're looking for the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We're looking for number 21. Let's see if we can find some numbers in verse number 6. Look at this. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Look at this. As it had been slain, he sees a lamb with the marks of the crucifixion. Somebody, they sung a song many years ago, and the first time I heard it, I was a little confused. And it said there'll only be one imperfect body when we get to the other side. We'll all have glorified bodies if you've been saved in the body of Christ. But there'll be one body there, hallelujah, that still bears the marks that set me free, that still bears the marks of the crucifixion. He sees a lamb as it had been slain. Now watch this. Having seven horns, having seven eyes. We need one more seven, don't we? Because we're looking for number 21, which are the seven spirits sent for. Wow. You reckon we found him? Yeah, we've went through the list. I could give you all of them, but it'd bore you to tears. Just trust me, there were seven good ones. One started out good, but then he went bad, so I didn't count him. There were seven good ones, a total of 20. The promise was that the scepter would never leave Judah. Well, it has, and it's been gone for over 2,600 years. But John sees something. He sees something in Revelation chapter number 5. And guess what he sees? Not a cub, but he sees the number 21. He sees the Lion of the tribe that will sit down on the throne of his father David, and he will do what his cubs could not do. Amen. My goodness. It's almost enough to make a Baptist shout. Not quite. But I'm telling you, if you're home by yourself, you can get a little Babdacostal reading this. How many of you in here was able to watch the presidential inauguration on the 20th? And I'm sure because it was declared a holiday, Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, and so I thought about that, there was more people that was able to be at home and watch the inauguration. Now, I've always pounded about exercise your right to vote. You should do that as a Christian. Exercise your right to vote. But I've never been a political activist because I like to eat too much and politicians give me acid indigestion. But I sat there and I watched this inauguration. You remember you called Mom and you said, is Dad getting a message watching this? Well, Dad was getting a message watching this. And me and Shannon sat there and watched it together. And she wasn't feeling good. And she said, I'm going to hang with you. I want to watch this. It was very moving. It was a very moving thing. It don't matter if you're somebody says, won't you finish the message? Fasten your seatbelt. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. If you love this country, and you watch that inauguration of the 47th president, it done something to you. It was an emotional thing. And when they played the music, I'm telling you, man, it raised a hair on my arm. And I was taking all of this in. But in the middle of that thing, I know what Paul was talking about. I'm telling you, man, my body left this place. I started seeing this from the eyes of the inner man. And I watched, very moving thing, as the former presidents came down the hallway. And they took them and they gave them a seat of honor because they had been former U.S. presidents. Then they brought in the Supreme Court. I don't know why, but they brought in the Supreme Court. But some of the music was phenomenal. And I mean, it would move you if you got a patriotic bone in your body. Now, I noticed that when they brought the presidents in, The music sounded more like a funeral dirge. I told Shannon, I said, man, I preached funerals that had livelier music than that. But then you look at the ones walking in, you say, okay, well, I get it. They got it right. But they gave them the honor of having a seat, a specific seat, because they had been a former president of the United States. They brought J.D. Vance in, walking down the hallway. That was an emotional thing. And then, boy, they built it up, man. You know, it was inside, normally outside. They really built that thing up. And then it showed the 47th president, Donald J. Trump, walking down the hallway. And when he come out, they erupted in applause and praise, and they played Hail to the Chief. That song tears me all to pieces, man. I can't help it. They played Hail to the Chief. And while I was watching that, it's like the Holy Spirit said, hey, whew, let me show you something. Let me show you something. You think that's something? You getting all tore up over the inauguration of a president? You ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. I'm talking about something far greater, something far more important than the inauguration of the 47th president of the United States. Because there's coming a day, bless your heart, when the 21st king, hallelujah, which is not a cub, but the lion of the tribe of Judah, amen, is going to take the scepter. Can you imagine? Oh, man, you thought that singing was good. I wish you could have heard what the Lord let me hear for a little while. My goodness, as he transported me. I was watching this on television, but you know what? Instead of seeing former presidents walk in and sit down, you know what I saw? I saw seven cubs come in and take their place. They tried their best. Bless their hearts. They done the best they could do. But in the end, they all failed. They realized they was nothing more than cubs. I watched that. I remembered this, man. The Lord was just showing me this scene when the King of Kings, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Are you kidding me, man? Are you kidding me? You think the 47th, you think, oh, are you kidding me? My goodness, can you imagine what that's going to be like? And if you're born again, whoo, you're going to be there. When they bring out the lion, well, not a cub. When they bring out the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he ascends the step. Whoo! I seen a flyover by the seraphim. Them flyovers, man, they tear me up. I remembered when this church and the young people of this church raised enough money back in 1988. Man, I'm getting old. And they sent me to the Holy Lands with Preacher Lawson. I'll never forget that. It changed my life. It changed my ministry. But when I seen this, I was getting this vision of the celebration that's to come. When they bring out, hallelujah, number 21, not a cub, but the lion of the tribe. I thought, oh, what kind of music will we hear? It'll be something far greater than Hail to the Chief, I promise you that. You'll get to hear the real Heaven's Jubilee. But man, I was watching this and this excitement, and I seen a flyover by the seraphim, the burning ones. In 1988, when I was able to go over there, they took us to the top of Masada. You've been over so many times, brother. I know you. Masada was the last stronghold of the Jews in 73 AD before the Romans took over. And if you want a good study about Masada. I don't have time tonight, I'm preaching. But it's an awesome study about what took place at Masada. And they took us to the top of Masada. That's where the Jewish young men and the young women go to take their vow to join the military, is on the top of Masada. And when we were there, it just happened to be there were some young military people taking their, why would they have them up there? Why would they take them to the top of Masada? You need to know what happened on Masada. Amen? That's where they, and during that vow, there was a flyover by the Israeli Air Force. Low flyover, man. You talking about something that would absolutely raise the hair off of your arms. They got one of the most elite air forces in the world. Amen. I'm telling you, buddy, those Jews are smart. They know what they're doing. Man, you remember when they just flew over there in the middle of the night and took out a nuclear reactor and got back home and watched Gunsmoke, I guess, like it wasn't no big deal. They know what they're doing. But to stand on top of Masada, knowing what it represents, and then you could see them coming and hear them in them jet engines and a low Passover, man, a flyover while you're on Masada. Man, I just wanted to die right then and be raptured. I'm telling you. But what I saw was far greater than that. I saw the Lion of the tribe of Judah ascend the throne of his father David and was handed the scepter. He's prevailed, bless your heart. He's prevailed. He's worthy. He's worthy. I listened to the singing and I heard, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I heard that. I heard, worthy is the Lamb. What, can you imagine? Man, the place was packed, but there was still enough room to bow. Isn't that something? And the Lord was letting me see this. Say, I'm stupid. I'm dumber than a box of rocks. And when the Lord called me to preach, I said, you got to paint me a picture. I've got to see what I'm preaching. And boy, did I ever. My, my, my. If you thought that was something on January the 20th, you ain't seen nothing yet. If that music moved you, oh, bless your little heart. You ain't seen not nary a thing. You know what Isaiah says about that day? Ooh, think about this. He said the mountains and the hills are going to sing. I never heard a mountain sing, have you? I never heard a mountain or a hill sing, but on this day, when they bring out the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Isaiah said, fasten your seatbelt because the mountains and the hills are going to sing. Can you imagine that? He said, get ready because the trees of the field are going to clap their hands. Man, you thought January the 20th was something. You ain't seen nothing yet. The Bible said, "All the Lord gives the animals a voice." That's what your Bible says. Even the fish in the sea, he gives them a voice so they can praise the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's prevailed. My, isn't that something? Can you imagine the animals having a voice and hearing those animals saying, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And the whole creation is clapping its hands. And I'm going to be right there in the mix of it, man. Taking it in. Thank God I'll have a glorified body because I near about passed out at the house. I'm telling you, boy, the presence of the Holy One came down. And if Shannon hadn't seen it before, it scared her to death. You'd have had me committed because tears just started pouring out of my eyes. My hands went up to heaven and I was seeing not the inauguration of the 47th president, man. As awesome as that was, what I was seeing was the inauguration of number 21, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. My, you know how close we are to that? That's why we're listening for a shout tonight. It's what we're listening for. I hope you're not planning on being around this place a long, long time, because I believe we're very close. I believe we're very close. We're going to hear a shout, a voice, and a trump, and you don't have to worry about the next 7 years. What are we going to do? Oh, we're just going to have a big time up in heaven with the Lord while all hell breaks loose here. Amen. And at the end of that seven-year period, we're coming back with him. We're coming back with him, Revelation chapter 19. And he's not coming back to be crucified again. No. He's not coming back to shed his blood. No, his garments are sprinkled with blood, but it's not his blood. It's the blood of his enemies. Can you imagine? Can you even wrap your head around that? Somebody said, "I've never seen the Holy Lands." If you've been born again, you're going to get you're going to get a tour. Yeah, you're going to get a tour of it. That's right. You'll see it. Yeah, you'll cross Jordan right where Joshua brought them across. Yeah, right there at Gilgal. On horseback, I don't believe it. Well, just sail on, my brother. You believe the book? You think about it, you're going to be there if you're saved. Listen to me. You're going to be there.
Amen.
Can you imagine? I sat there and I thought, I wonder who will sing. I wonder. Now, the angels can sing, sure. But the angels hadn't been redeemed. You say, you're nuts. Well, I know that. Just leave me alone a minute. I ain't got much longer here anyway. I pictured in my mind them bringing out Fanny J. Crosby. Picture that, man. With the seven little cubs sitting over there where the president's due. And that little once blind girl, she's not blind anymore, putting her chest out and saying, "Blessed assurance." See, the angels, they couldn't rejoice to something like that. That wouldn't mean nothing to the angels. But how are we going to keep it together? How are we going to keep it together, even in a glorified body? Wow. Whew. Maybe have John Newton step out on the stage and sing, "Oh, amazing grace," while the mountains are singing and the trees are clapping their hands.
Amen.
And the animals have been given a voice. My, what a thing.
Amen.
What a thing. If you're saved, that's where we're headed. That's where we're headed. That's our future. That's where we're headed. I'm going to be there. There's not a doubt in my mind, not one iota of doubt.
Amen.
I'm going to be there. Man, I'm going to get to witness this. Man alive, that singing on the 20th tore me up. I ain't ready for this. I can't even imagine. Can't imagine. Does that excite you or does it scare you to death? Is any excitement well up inside your soul? Or are you scared? I know for sure I'll be there when the line of the tribe of Judah takes the throne that his cubs couldn't keep. I'll be there. Will you? Will you be there? Do you know without a shadow of any doubt that you'll be there? My Father, I thank you, Lord, for the sweet liberty that you gave me. I know the message was a little different. I just tried to. I'm not the artist you are. I didn't paint a near good enough picture as what you showed me. But my Father, I thank you for meeting with me on that day and what you've done in my soul and what you allowed the inner man to see and what you allowed me to hear with my spiritual ears. Oh, my Father, I pray for the precious folks here, those that saved, oh God, open up their heart tonight. If they know they've been born again, they may be going through pure hell on earth right now in this life. But just for a little while tonight, Lord, open up their heart. Let them see what the future holds for them, Lord. All the best is yet to come. My Father, I pray tonight, if there's someone here, They're nervous. They're just not sure. My Father, they don't like messages like this. They don't like end time messages like this, Lord. It makes them nervous. My Father, I pray. I pray that you'd send the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. And I pray tonight that you would arrest their heart. They're running out of time, Lord. Their time of visitation is drawing to a close. And my Father, I pray as Sister Angie plays softly tonight that they would slip out of their seat and they'd come to an altar of repentance. Their time, this may be somebody's last opportunity. Could be the last opportunity for somebody. I pray you'd speak to their heart tonight. Lord, I've done all you've called me to do. It's all you asked me to do. I'm just a messenger. I'm just a sinner. It one day cried out, "Lord, remember me." That's all I am. That's all I'll ever be. It's just a sinner saved by grace. I've done what you placed a calling upon my life to do, but I can't go any farther. The Holy Ghost of God has to give the invitation. I can't reach out there and touch somebody's heart, but the Holy Spirit can. And I ask that you come into this place. Lord, I just feel in my soul that somebody tonight's not ready. Somebody's uncomfortable with the message tonight. And I pray, Lord, I pray they would come as we play softly. I pray that you'd speak to their hearts. My Father, don't let them leave lost tonight. Those that's had a bad week, a bad time, that's going through the fire, for a little while tonight, just open their spiritual eyes. Let them see the, let them hear the mountains cry. Let them hear the mountains sing. Lord, just let them see the trees clap their hands. Let them hear the beasts cry, holy, holy, holy. Lord, let them hear tonight in their spiritual hearing. Worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb that's prevailed. Just for a little while, Lord, take us to that upper room just for a little while and fill us up, Lord. We need strength tonight. We need to hear from heaven tonight. God, just for a little while, take us to that secret place. I ask it in Jesus' name, for his sweet sake, I pray.